You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. See all the action from every game with full game replays. You can also replay an entire game and catch all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. And we are back here with another episode here on Purple Friday. Another Purple Friday, and hopefully this Purple Friday leading up to the Sunday game against the Washington football team will be a good one. And hopefully the game on Sunday against the Washington football team will be a good one as well. Now, for this Ravens team, this is the ultimate definition of a week that you need a bounce back game. You just faced these defending Super Bowl champions in the Kansas City Chiefs. It was a rough game. It was a really rough game. There's no sugarcoating it. It was tough to watch. The Ravens were really not firing on any cylinders except for special teams. I mean, it was really the special teams game for the Ravens. There were positives here and there, but for the most part, it was a tough watch, especially watching Patrick Mahomes and that Kansas City offense travel up and down the field at will in the Baltimore defense. But the Ravens going and traveling to play Washington at FedEx Field, and again, the Ravens are mad. I've said it all week. They're mad. And I mean, they should be mad. They played a pretty bad game against the Kansas City Chiefs. But they're going to come out and I think perform. And we'll get into final score predictions. Of course, if you've noticed, there's no Matthew Stevens today. It is just me. But we're still going to be getting into our game preview, the Baltimore Ravens against the Washington football team in week 4. So we'll talk about the Ravens offense first, the Washington defense in the second segment, and then flip that script and talk about the Washington offense against the Ravens defense in the final segment. But here in this first segment, I want to talk about the big news of yesterday, and that is Ravens cornerback Marlon Humphrey securing the bag. Yes, Marlon Humphrey, the Ravens star corner, getting a 5-year, $98.75 million extension. Actually puts him at the second highest paid cornerback behind Jalen Ramsey. He had a lot of great things to say during his press conference yesterday, and I want to talk about just how good of a deal this is for the Ravens, because it's a really good deal. You have a corner in Marlon Humphrey who's your best cornerback. I mean, you have to pay him money. You have to pay him a lot of money to keep him around in Baltimore. But again, he had a lot of things to say at his press conference, so I want to talk about how this deal impacts the Ravens, if it was a good deal, and everything else pertaining to Marlon Humphrey. So we'll get into that right now, but before we do that, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere there's a podcast where they're waiting Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnRavens and my personal account at KOstreicher34. So with all that being said, we're going to talk about Marlon Humphrey here. Marlon Humphrey, again, signing that 5-year, $98.75 million extension with the Ravens. His agents work tirelessly, and look, he deserves every single penny of this deal. He's a great cornerback. He deserves every single penny of the deal. So what you have to look at here, I mean, you look at Marlon Humphrey and his career stats. I don't even think his career stats do him justice, even though he's a phenomenal player. Just looking at the plain old box score stats for his entire career, Humphrey's done a lot in a Ravens uniform. He's compiled 150 total tackles, 8 tackles for loss, 44 passes defensed, 4 forced fumbles, 3 fumble recoveries, and also 8 interceptions. Something interesting to note about Marlon Humphrey, however, is with his move back into the slot cornerback position, just a tiny bit of a tangent, he actually has more quarterback hits, and it's only 2, but more quarterback hits than he's had in his entire career over the course of a season. He had 1 in 2019 and now 2 in 2020. Didn't have a quarterback hit over his first 2 years in the league. So what Marlon Humphrey has done for this Baltimore Ravens team is really transform this defense. Now, I want to go back to 2016 when Marlon Humphrey was drafted by the Ravens. As a lot of people probably remember, this pick by Baltimore was not a popular one. A lot of different people thought that either Reuben Foster should have been the pick or some other guy should have been the pick. But for Baltimore, they did it full well knowing they had a stacked defensive backroom. They had Jimmy Smith. They had signed Brandon Carr. But still, It's the Ravens' MO to this day is depth is never a bad thing to have. They don't really pick for position. They pick for talent. If the best player on their board is available and it's at a position that's not of need, it doesn't matter. They're going to take him anyway. And that's honestly a really good strategy because it sets you up for great future success. Now for Humphrey, he has done so much, not only as an outside corner, which of course he's better on the outside, but he's provided so much versatility to this Ravens defense that it's really not even, you can't even put the value into a specific number or a specific stat. You just see it on the field. We've seen how the loss of Tavon Young can affect this team. We saw them cycle through option after option after option in the slot in 2019 before Marcus Peters came in because they were playing Humphrey and Smith on the outside. They were cycling Cyrus Jones, Baltimore was. They were cycling Anthony Averett in there, Maurice Kennedy. There were a lot of people getting a shot at the slot cornerback position, and not a lot of them were doing it, and not a lot of them were doing it well. So for Baltimore to have a guy who you know is a very solid outside cornerback, one of the best in the league, but you put him in the slot, which is at such a different position. A lot of people don't realize how different and difficult playing slot cornerback is from playing outside corner. It's a big adjustment for people. That's why you have guys who are specifically slot cornerbacks. Having Marlon Humphrey go in there and be one of the best slot corners in the NFL in 2019, you want a guy like that on your team, and you also can't hate on his attitude. Marlon Humphrey, a very humble person, is a fierce competitor, loves to win, loves his teammates, and something that I loved him saying in his press conference right after he got this extension, right after it was announced, was that for him, it was never about being the highest paid corner. It was about staying a Raven. And this just goes back to what I have talked about on this show ever since I took it over. Baltimore is a place where people want to go. Baltimore is a place where people want to stay. You have cultures across the entire league. You have teams throughout the entire league where it is just a train wreck. I'm not going to name names, but there are teams like that throughout the entire NFL. The reason Baltimore stays so successful is they're able to retain talent and bring in new talent, but in this case, retain it. With Marlon Humphrey, you have a guy who wants to be here. You heard it with Ronnie Stanley too. He is another guy who's eligible for an extension and will most likely be getting it here sooner rather than later. He's a guy who said, yeah, I mean, I want to stay in Baltimore, and I'm sure that he might take less money as well. And the thing that makes it all so crazy to me is that if you remember, Jalen Ramsey, who's the highest paid cornerback right now, he was traded for by the Los Angeles Rams. He was sent to Los Angeles from Jacksonville. The Rams gave up 2 first round picks and more, a lot of assets for him. So Ramsey had all of that momentum in his corner and still was the highest paid corner, which is great. Ramsey is a phenomenal player. But with Humphrey, who I would argue is a better player than Ramsey, the Ravens got him at tremendous value. When you look at this contract and say, what, it's $98, $99 million. What value is that? It's value in a player who can give you top 5 cornerback production at both outside corner and at slot corner. That is so undervalued, especially because the Ravens, as much as I love Tavon Young, they might be looking to move on from him just because of the fact that he just cannot stay on the football field. And that's really unfortunate because Tavon Young is such a quality player. But what I love about Marlon Humphrey is that he has taken the challenge of moving into a new position and has done it so well. So I love this extension. I love that Baltimore got it done now because honestly, the more Humphrey plays, the more his value goes up. I don't expect him to have just a drop off in talent, such a sharp drop off in talent. I think he is going to be phenomenal for so many years to come. Baltimore got really a steal here. And again, you look at almost an $100 million contract and say, where's the steal? It's a steal because he easily could have reset the cornerback market once again. You see the inflation in cornerback numbers, all 5, the top 5 cornerback contracts right now in terms of money, in terms of total guaranteed money, in terms of total money across the deals, were all done in 2020. Byron Jones, who kind of set that market, I believe is now 5th on the list now. And that deal was done in free agency by the Dolphins. So the Ravens, I think, got tremendous value. Big, huge credit to Eric DaCosta for getting that deal done. Now you can focus your efforts on Ronnie Stanley if they want to, Matthew Judon, but it's one less thing this Baltimore team has to do. And you now have an idea of what your cap situation is going to look like in those next 5 years with Humphrey on the books. We're going to head into our first break now, but when we get back, we're going to be getting into our Ravens at Washington football team preview, starting off with the Baltimore offense versus the Washington defense. So stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch this season, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. So go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Pepsi, made for football watching. Built Go makes you the best you at whatever you do. Break through your wall, whether it's a mental or physical wall. Break through it with Go every day. It's easy to take in 1.5 ounce packages. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's better for the body. Built Go is loaded with good stuff to ignite your workout. It also kicks in to keep you going strong throughout the whole day, so be sure to visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 30% off of your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. And we are back with our second segment of this Locked on Ravens Purple Friday edition. Kevin Ostreicher, your host, still hanging out with you here. And we just talked about Marlon Humphrey and his 5-year, $98.75 million extension. But now let's talk about this Week 4 game, where the Baltimore Ravens will be traveling to FedEx Field to take on the Washington football team. And we'll start here with Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore offense going up against the presumed Chase Young-less defense for Washington. And again, I think all eyes are going to be on Lamar Jackson in this one after a, what some would call a subpar performance at best by Jackson, where he only threw for 97 yards in that Kansas City loss. This is going to be a game where Baltimore has to get back to what their bread and butter is. We've talked about it all week here on the show. That is the run game. 7.5 yards per carry for this Baltimore Ravens team. Again, 7.5 yards per carry for the Baltimore Ravens in Week 3 on only 21 attempts. Baltimore just abandoned it. They abandoned it. John Harbaugh and the coaching staff, I think they were sugarcoating it a bit in their press conferences, which is fine. You know, they don't want to kind of give in to that. But for Baltimore, I think they deep down know that they have to give Gus Edwards more carries. They have to let J.K. Dobbins on the field more. But again, a little bit of like a precaution thing for these rookies. It is, the Ravens are being cautious with these rookies because, again, very limited offseason, no preseason. They want to ease them into this NFL action because, to be fair, it is very different from the college game. So I completely understand not giving J.K. Dobbins a huge workload right off the bat. I understand giving guys like Miles Boykin and Willie Snead a little bit more leash because Devin Duvernay and James Prochet haven't really played in the NFL game before. That's completely okay. And John Harbaugh said, and Greg Roman talked about it a little bit too, how Devin Duvernay has been pushing for that offensive snap count to increase. I mean, he's certainly shown it. Even if it's just on special teams, he's also shown it on the offensive side of the ball and his very limited action that he has been in on the offensive side of the ball for. But for Lamar Jackson on the season, 53 of 77 for 576 yards, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. And honestly, if I want to talk about something with Lamar Jackson here, I want to talk about this for a little bit. Lamar Jackson, outside of that strip sack and outside of the fumble that he had in the first quarter against the Chiefs, has been phenomenal at protecting the football. He has barely thrown interceptions, and he's thrown less than 10 interceptions in his entire career. And that is crazy to me because you see with a lot of young quarterbacks that they will force things, they will struggle to go through their reads, and even if their first or second read is covered, they will still try to gunsling that ball in there. Lamar Jackson is smart. He will evade rushes and get out of the pocket, and even when he has to throw on the run, throw into tight coverage, he has a lot of just skill. He has so much skill in putting the ball in a place where only his receiver can get it. Now, of course, he's not perfect. Nobody is perfect, especially in the NFL where it's so difficult. These guys are NFL defenders. Lamar Jackson will have some plays where he will get intercepted in his career. That's just what happens. But still, I'm very impressed, and I think everybody who has watched Lamar Jackson should be very impressed too about how he's been able to protect the football, and that's going to be key. If you force yourself into bad turnovers against this Washington front four, if you get strip sacked, if you fumble the football, it's going to cause a lot of panic, and we might see the Ravens go away from the run a little bit more than I think a lot of people would like to. But it's been a great experience to see what the Ravens are doing on offense, to kind of see how their game plans are shaping up and what I would expect in this Week 4 game. I think they're going to establish the run early, but don't be surprised if they come out gunslinging as well. Again, I think the Ravens want to establish with the rest of the league that they can throw the football. I literally think it's almost as simple as that. And that's kind of like, oh, what? That's such a weird excuse for throwing the football so much. But the Ravens know, and the whole league knows, they can run it. They want to show teams that they are a dual-threat team, that they can both run and throw the ball. And so what you saw was the Ravens down three twice, and ultimately electing to throw three straight passes. I don't think it gets that crazy again. I think coaches acknowledge their mistakes there. I think Greg Roman, John Harbaugh, they know what happened there, and they know that if they had to do it again, I'd probably assume they would do it differently. But you have Lamar Jackson averaging 5.7 yards per carry. You have Gus Edwards averaging 7.2 yards per carry. Ridiculous numbers. J.K. Dobbins is averaging 7.6 yards per carry. But here's where the question comes in. Every Ravens fan, every person in Baltimore has to love Mark Ingram for what he did in 2019. 15 total touchdowns, over 1,000 yards, just a pure monster. But this season, he just hasn't looked like himself. 26 carries for 114 yards. It's only a 4.4 yards per carry average. And look, I say only 4.4 yards per carry. That's still a pretty good yards per carry average. But compared to what we've seen from Edwards and Dobbins, I think Ingram right now has been performing like the third string running back. I think Gus Edwards has been absolutely phenomenal. I've been preaching all offseason that he deserves to be starting on a team somewhere. I think that he could be a great 1-2 punch with J.K. Dobbins, who himself has looked shifty, powerful. He looks great. There's a reason he was the number one rated running back prospect on the Ravens draft board in 2020. He has looked great. But where do I see Mark Ingram factoring in this game and as the season progresses? Honestly, I think some of his workload begins to be taken away gradually. With these over 30 running backs, you have to be extremely cautious, one, for injury, but two, just for a production drop-off, and I'm sure the Ravens came into this season with the idea that, yes, there is a potential for a big Mark Ingram drop-off. Now, he hasn't been horrible. He's been a pretty good running back, but compared to what Baltimore has been looking at with Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins, with what I just mentioned a few minutes ago of, yes, J.K. Dobbins is a rookie, there's a reason why he hasn't been getting so many carries. That rookie title, he starts to be a more experienced rookie with every week, with every practice. And if he keeps performing the way that he has, if he keeps showing that he has the shiftiness, has the power, has the elusiveness that he's been showing, he will continue to get carries. And the Ravens coaches have said, yeah, we're going to ride with the hot hand. We don't care if it's Ingram. We don't care if it's Dobbins. We don't care if it's Edwards. Ingram is going to get carries in the early stretches of games. I 100% think that will be the case. They're not going to completely abandon him in the run game because he still is a very good back. Greg Roman said that there's nothing wrong with having a closer when talking about Gus Edwards, so he is obviously the late game, ideally the late game guy for Baltimore. So I think against this Washington front four, you have to tire them out. You just have to tire them out because you have guys like Jonathan Allen and Deron Payne. And yes, Chase Young is most likely out. Matt Iodonis, as Chris mentioned yesterday, is also probably going to be out. But they still have a ton of guys who can get to the quarterback and who can also stop the run. So if you tire that front four out early, if you get them gassed, it will hinder their ability to be strong with their pass rush moves, to get that quick burst off the line. It's really underrated how they go hand in hand with each other, and I honestly think that's part of the reason why the Ravens were able to pass the ball as well as I think they should have been able to, is because those Chiefs defenders just weren't gassed, they weren't tired, they weren't getting run into, they weren't having to stay on the field for so many plays at a time. That's what really, I think, did this Ravens team in, because as Chris mentioned yesterday, Montez Sweat in that Cleveland game last week looked tired at the end of it. So if you can get him tired, if you can get the Washington front four tired, I think that the Ravens will have a great formula for success. And then finally, quickly here, what the Ravens have to do throwing the football. I mean, you just can't drop passes. You can't do it. It killed the Ravens. Mark Andrews dropping that touchdown. He dropped another really great pass by Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson dropped it in that breadbasket on a second down play early in the game. Again, it just sets the tone. I'm not saying that Mark Andrews is a bad pass catcher, but he has struggled with drops throughout his career. We saw uncharacteristic drops from Marquise Brown. And again, Lamar Jackson just has to be better throwing the football as well. He's a great passer, but we saw multiple times on Monday night that he overthrew Marquise Brown. He underthrew Marquise Brown. Something got to him, whether it was the Chiefs, whether it was primetime, whether it was being down. It was something. So if Baltimore can establish an early lead, and we'll talk about what the defense has to do here in our next segment, they will be just fine, and I think Lamar Jackson is going to come out and have a day against this Washington defense. We're going to head into our final break now, but when we get back, we're going to be getting into the Washington offense against this Baltimore defense. So stay tuned for that, and we will be right back. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need into a traditional chain storefront. Why draw from pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing only the brand his warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in there, how'd you hear about us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. And we are back with our final segment of this Purple Friday edition of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostrecker, your host, still here with you. We're going to get into now the Washington offense going up against this Ravens defense that did not have the best night in Week 3 against the Kansas City Chiefs. Although, you have to give credit to Andy Reid, to Eric Bieniemy, to Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill. The Chiefs have so many weapons on offense. They are so creative on offense. And Patrick Mahomes, I mean, one of the best quarterbacks in the league right now, if not the very best. So the Ravens had their hands full on Monday night, but going up against the second-year signal caller in Dwayne Haskins Jr., I think it will be a lot easier for this Ravens defense. Now, again, as we've talked about before on the show, especially last season, Baltimore absolutely feasts on rookie signal callers, on second-year guys, on third guys, really young quarterbacks. Don Martindale's defense is designed to confuse quarterbacks, and for the young guys, it's difficult because they have so many different blitzing schemes. They can drop linebackers back into coverage, they'll blitz safeties, they'll blitz corners, they'll blitz anybody. It's really difficult for a young quarterback to pick up on all of that, so what do you do to Dwayne Haskins, who has struggled so far this season? It hasn't been all bad. He's completed 56.4% of his passes for 625 yards, has 4 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. But so what do? You have to put pressure on him, make him throw into this Baltimore secondary that is now boasting a newly signed Marlon Humphrey, Marcus Peters, Jimmy Smith, Deshaun Elliott, Chuck Clark. So many guys who can make a play, and if you can get pressure on him bringing 4 or even just bringing 5, it will leave guys in the secondary to cover Terry McLaurin, to cover Logan Thomas, who, as Chris said yesterday, is one of Dwayne Haskins' favorite targets. So you have to limit Dwayne Haskins' time in the pocket. At least force him out of the pocket. Get pressure on him. Make him force a throw to somebody because he just has to get that ball out. Make him decide if he takes a sack against this Ravens fearsome pass rush, or at least it's supposed to be a fearsome pass rush, or throw it into that elite ball-hawking secondary. Let Marcus Peters play his game. Yes, he had a few mistakes in the Kansas City game, but I don't think Patrick Mahomes is going to be walking through that door at FedEx Field. I think that Dwayne Haskins is somebody who Marcus Peters can bait into a few bad throws. But on the ground, Washington has had its fair share of struggles. Also, it has a few guys who have been impressing. J.D. McKissic is a guy who's a nice pass-catching back, is averaging 4.1 yards per carry. Antonio Gibson, who's a rookie running back slash wide receiver type, is their leading carrier at 31 attempts. He's rushed for 140 yards and 2 scores. Again, McKissic has caught 4 passes for 38 yards on the young season. Gibson has caught 6 for 16. So for Baltimore, getting their linebackers involved, Patrick Queen and Malik Harrison were benched towards the end of that Kansas City game because they were being picked on. This is a good learning experience for them. That game, yeah, it was a nice learning experience to go up against such a high-powered offense, but at the end of the day, being successful will build confidence in them. That game against Kansas City is not going to build confidence in them because they were just picked on the entire game. So what do? You put them in situations to succeed, and against Washington, I do think they're going to be able to succeed against, again, a young quarterback, an offensive line that's missing Brandon Scharf, who's a big, big piece of what they do on the offensive side of the ball. So Washington missing some pieces both on offense and on defense, but they can't be overlooked. Dwayne Haskins Haskins cannot be overlooked. He is a quarterback in this league for a reason. People have been calling for Alex Smith in Washington circles. They've been saying, well, Dwayne Haskins has been horrible. He's towards the bottom of the league in this category, that category. But still, Haskins is somebody who can hurt you on the field. He can throw the ball. He's very effective throwing the ball, too. He can also run with his legs to an extent. 10 carries for 27 yards. That's not a huge part of his game, however. I think that Haskins, if given the right situation, can be a very successful quarterback, but right now, Terry McLaurin is his best guy. He's been throwing to Steven Sims, he's been throwing to Dontrell Inman, been throwing to Antonio Gibson, as I mentioned, Antonio Gandy-Golden. Not a ton of weapons for him to throw to right now, so I think another year of Haskins will really show what he is in this league. But against this Ravens defense, I think Calais Campbell is going to eat. If Derek Wolfe plays, which hopefully he will, I think he is going to eat as well. Hopefully Matthew Judon will be able to go up against, I believe it would be Morgan Moses would be the matchup for Judon. So I hope that he will be able to do some things against him. But at the end of the day, the Ravens defense needs a confidence boost, and I think this Washington football team is a team to get it against. Now, as Chris kind of said, he had an idea that maybe the Ravens would keep it close, and maybe the Ravens wouldn't be able to go out and dominate if the game against Kansas City ended in a Ravens win, but we all know what happened. It did not. This Ravens team is mad. They're going to go into FedEx Field and just want to assert their dominance and show, because some guys, some prominent media members are counting the Ravens out just because they lost to a extremely good Chiefs team. They lost to a good Chiefs team. It's not like they were playing some team like the Jets or the Broncos, who we saw play on Thursday night last night. They're playing against the defending champs, so now going up against a clear drop-off in talent, no offense to Washington, but they're not the defending champs, and the Ravens have an opportunity to show that they are the team that everybody thinks they are, and that is a dominant team, one of the premier threats in the AFC and in the entire NFL, and I fully expect them to go out and prove that. So if I'm going to give a final score prediction here, I'm going to go Ravens 34, Washington 17. I think that we might see RG3 towards the end of the game, but I do think that score won't be as close as the actual score gap indicates. So for Baltimore, I think a win against the Washington football team here in week 4, getting their season back on track and going to 3-1 on the young season. That's all that I have for you today. When we get back on Monday after our 2-day hiatus, we'll be talking about how this week 4 game went between the Baltimore Ravens and the Washington football team. So stay tuned for that, and I will see you on Monday.